Well, as that unrest and violence in Egypt's Tahrir Square rages on another day, here in the U.S., many Egyptian Americans are glued to their TV, watching the events unfold and eager to know how their families are doing. They're checking social networking sites like Facebook and Twitter for updates. In a moment, we'll talk with one Egyptian American about how he is following the events in Egypt and what it all means for him and for his family. And we want to hear from Egyptian Americans in our audience. If you are watching the events unfold, give us a call and tell us what this means to you. 800-989-8255 is our number. Our email address is talk@npr.org. You can also go to our website, click on Talk of the Nation, and our website is npr.org. Well, joining us now from Georgia Public Broadcasting in Atlanta is Sami Abdulaziz. He is a senior IT manager at a banking firm in Atlanta. And Sami Abdulaziz, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Mary Louise.
We're glad to have you on. And I understand, am I right, that your parents and your sisters are still in Egypt? How are they doing?
They are doing all right. They are, of course, terrorized. They are afraid. They haven't, the older generation, they haven't left the house for at least a week now. However, the younger ones are trying to go out and be part of this resistant movement that is historical in nature.
And are you able to reach them easily on the phone? How are you communicating with your parents and sisters?
Actually, for the first 4 days, we couldn't call on cell phones, and then internet have been down for the whole week now. At last, I saw them last night for the first time on the internet. Landlines, we could reach them the first couple of days, then we couldn't, and now we can again.
Mm. So how are you getting most of your news in terms of what's actually happening day to day in Cairo and elsewhere in Egypt?
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable times, because in time when the whole world is getting connected, the government of Mubarak is disconnecting Egypt from the world. As you correctly said, we try phones, we try internet, we try cell phones, and sometimes one way would work, the other time it doesn't. Today we all have heard about what happened to the journalists, that their cameras have been taken away. Everybody is so afraid that this is in preparation for a massacre for tomorrow.
Mm.
So even
tomorrow
being Friday, and
the start
exactly,
of prayer, yeah.
Which is the Muslims' prayers day, and there was calls for all Egyptians to come out tomorrow.
It must be very emotional for you to watch these images coming out of your country and where your family and so many of your friends, I'm sure, still are.
And not only that, Mary Louise. I will speak freely. I love NPR. I'm a big fan of your program, so thank you first for the opportunity to talk with you and with your audience. This is probably a very unique experience for me. I mean, it's like roller coaster, right? The first 3-4 days, I felt really tall. I felt very proud of what these young kids are doing in the streets. I never thought I'll see this in my lifetime. Their courage, their civility, their way of saying enough is enough captured all the attentions and made me very, very proud of what they are doing. Then comes yesterday and seeing these horrible scenes, I mean, riding horses and camels.
Mm-hmm.
Who directed the scene, right? And the violence and the... It's just... So I can tell you I didn't sleep a minute last night. So it's roller coaster. It's sad. It's overwhelming to see that we, America, that all the civilized world have supported this ruthless government for so long. And it's time now to take the right side of history and support the people that are calling for their freedom, for democracy, for their dignity.
Okay. Hey, we have a caller on the line. This is Bahira calling from Campbell, California. Hi, Bahira.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, great. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. I'm actually very disturbed, as you can imagine.
Sure. Are you, let me ask your background, are you Egyptian-American?
Yes, I am.
And what are you watching as you watch events unfold in Egypt? What kind of things are you looking for?
I mean, to be honest with you, this whole process started with a tremendous amount of hope on the parts of everyone, because here were these people that are managing to stand up and, you know, they have this amazing goal of democracy, and they were completely peaceful. And I think the most troubling part is that the government, rather than stepping down and listening to the people and their legitimate desires, chose to send in hired thugs, or whatever you want to call them. It's unfortunate that they're being called pro-Mubarak demonstrators. And it was when they were sent in with weapons that all the violence began. And unfortunately, it's giving a completely wrong impression of something that started peacefully and with a, you know, tremendous amount of dignity, a tremendous amount of hope. And one person's reluctance to step down is resulting in a massacre in a country. And people are, you know, they're on the verge of civil war, if you could even call it that. I don't know. It's paid operatives versus, you know, peaceful protesters at this point, trying to defend themselves in any way that they can. And it's just, it's extremely, extremely disturbing for us that have family there, that have, you know, aspirations for Egypt as a country to prosper under a democratic rule.
Well, I was going to ask,
don't know what to make of it.
Do you have people there who you're particularly worried about, who you're trying to stay in contact with yourself, Bahira?
Of course. I have many friends and I have many family members. And, you know, what's happened is they've managed to turn public opinion around, because people are now worried about their safety. You know, these pro-Mubarak thugs have managed to put insecurity and fear in people. One, people are staying home because they're afraid for their safety and the safety of their families. They don't want to leave their families behind. There are prisoners that have been set free from prisons, and it's still, the verdict is out, as they're, you know, if that was just spontaneous or if they were actually intentionally released to wreak havoc on the country and to convince individuals that they will be safer under the rule of Mubarak, despite the oppression and corruption, than to let this process continue. And it's just extremely troubling, because, you know, one man's reluctance is resulting in so much damage. I mean, people are dying. People are dying. It's an extremely serious situation. And as you can see, I mean, they have no interest in this being reported on. I understand that journalists have been rounded up, and then that's really, really even more concerning, because what's going to happen tomorrow that they don't want to be seen, that they don't want to be documented, that they don't want the rest of the world to see?
Okay.
You know, it's very concerning, and I really wish that the international community could step up on some level and protect these people, because, like I said, I mean, they proved to the whole world they were there for a peaceful protest. They were there for 7 days without any incident. They were self-policing themselves to make sure that whoever was showing up to demonstrations did not have any weapons. And then this onslaught by the pro-Mubarak demonstrators has just, you know, everything has taken a completely different turn. And it's a very worrisome, you know, turn, obviously. The security of people is now at risk. And sadly, they've managed to very intentionally scare people. This is a scare tactic that's being carried out, and it's succeeding. Because the government is in charge of food supplies, the government is in charge of gasoline supplies, and now the government is, you know, making the people feel unsafe. All the banks are closed, people have no access to money, people have no access to food, and they're getting worried and they're getting scared, and they're trying to figure out, is this the price I want to pay for democracy? Is this, you know, and unfortunately people are just being terrorized, for lack of a better word.
Bahira, thanks so much for your call, and we hope that that your loved ones in Egypt stay safe through all this. Thank you.
I hope so, too. Thank you for hearing me. Bye-bye.
Sami Abdelaziz, you are in Atlanta, as we mentioned. I know you are in contact with a lot of Egyptian Americans who are there. I understand you've launched a Facebook page and helped to organize an anti-Mubarak rally down there in Atlanta. How is that effort going?
Let me make a small correction. Mm. It is not anti-Mubarak demonstration. It is a pro-democracy, pro-freedom, pro these people that put their life on the line. what Bahira said is absolutely correct. This is not a new invention. He's working from the same workbook or copybook that he used over and over again over the last 30 years. We are here not to talk with Mubarak or even try to reason with Mubarak. We're beyond this long time ago. We're here to talk to our American government. What's happening now, we have at least partial responsibility for. And this is why we organized this rally last Saturday. We're going out again this Saturday in front of CNN building. Like you said, we had a lot of interviews and a lot of media, and the message is one. We cannot count on Mubarak to be civilized. He showed that he's completely out of this league. It's our government that have a lot of relationships, invested heavily in Egypt over the last 30 years, and it is our government that should make it very clear where it stands. It is not equal sides, and we're trying to balance our position. Our position should be very clear.
We're talking with Sami Abdulaziz, who's in Atlanta. He's Egyptian-American and is in touch with other Egyptian-Americans, watching events very closely in Cairo and elsewhere in Egypt. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's get another caller here. We have Michael on the line from Fresno, California. Hi, Michael. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm great, thanks. Tell us your story.
I've been watching Fresno News for a couple of weeks now, and then my friends were all telling me from the Tahrir Square that the Minister of Defense released the prisoners, ordered the release of prisoners from the public prisons, and paid them off, telling them to be pro Mubarak, and they're the ones who actually got the horses and all the camels from the tourist sections, and they ran on the Tahrir Square against people. These are all prisoners and thugs paid off by the Mubarak government.
Michael, it sounds like you're talking with friends or relatives back in Egypt. How are you able to stay in touch? How are you tracking the events that are unfolding there?
I'm tracking either on Facebook and Twitter sometimes, but mainly on Facebook because everyone is uploading videos over there. And YouTube as well. They are many videos on how the so-called pro Mubarak are fighting against the anti-government. And these are not anti-government. These are anti-corruption people who are peaceful demonstration in the Tahrir Square, and they're being forced upon the pro Mubarak demonstrators. Like, I don't understand why. Are you pro Mubarak and not just go home? Why are you coming and fighting against the other ones? You know.
All right.
And, my cousin actually was in one of the demonstrations, and he said that people are holding knives and pipes and running all the streets, seeing if someone is anti-government, and they would kick him and fight him and stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, we hope that your cousin and others that you're in touch with stay safe there.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it.
Thank you for the call, Michael. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sami Abdulaziz, I'm curious, as you watch the images and speak to people there, is there one image, a specific moment that stands out in your mind as a turning point in these protests so far, kind of a sign of the times that you'll look back and point to as you remember these events?
So are we talking about up moment or down moment?
Well, I don't know. I suppose it depends where it will all go tomorrow,
right?
And over the weekend.
I really would like to think that 10 years from now, I will remember how these kids... I left Egypt when I was 29 years old. Now I'm 51. I still go back every year because my parents are still... there, they are over 50, 75, my sisters, my extended family. And I can tell you, Mary Louise, every time I went there, within 2 weeks, I felt so bad. I felt that I need to go back home, because although I think of myself as Egyptian American, the country I was visiting wasn't Egypt that I knew. Mm. That's the bad part. I think my proudest moment was seeing these kids on the 25th and 26th standing, singing national anthem and songs about Egypt, about history, about beautiful old songs that I haven't heard for years. I want to keep this image. I hope that there is some mechanism somewhere that I will delete completely the images of yesterday of people attacking people from the top of camels. I don't know if somebody thought that it came out of a postcard or something. This has nothing to do with Egypt. Egypt, that the people that were trying to protect journalists yesterday, the people that were cleaning El Tahrir Square, these are the Egyptians and these are the images I want to keep for the rest of my life.
All right. We'll leave it there with those words of hope from Sami Abdulaziz. Thanks so much for taking the time to come on the program today.
Thank you so much, Mary Louise.
That's Sami Abdulaziz. He is a senior IT manager at a banking firm in Atlanta. He's obviously tracking events and keeping in touch with his family in Egypt closely. Tomorrow, it's Talk of the Nation Science Friday, and Ira Flatow will be here for a look at why Pluto, the planet, got demoted. Neil Conan's back on Monday. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Mary Louise Kelly.